You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com to get started today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold, hard cash with their new over-under game. Just head over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100 at sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app. You're home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Yes, sir. We are back. I know this isn't the familiar voice that you hear on a Friday, but it's Friday. Happy hour going on in a couple hours. It's happy hour for me every hour. It's your guy, Really Real, Villain Ruts Ruffman Jr. How are you doing on this lovely Friday? It's great to be here. And we have an all-star group here. I got Dan Titus and Scott Rochelle with me to break down these Western Conference Finals Game 2. Dan, how are you doing today?
Really Real, Villain Real. Man, you've been crushing on your picks, man. It's great to see you win on Twitter and get the heat for it and keep bringing it, man. I love these dogs you're doing. And same with Scott. Y'all are crushing it. So great to be here with y'all. Talk about last night's game with the Heat and the Celtics. I know Scott's probably feeling okay about some of his picks there. And then, yeah, man. And then talk about game two for the Warriors and the Mavs, man. Are we expecting – what are we expecting here? Is Luka finally going to hit some shots or what?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Scott, what's going on? I feel like I haven't seen you in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, been about 10 minutes. WNBA podcast just got posted, shameless plug. But to go through everything from yesterday, lost the lock, hit the dog. I believe I made 0.1 units. And you know what?
Hey,
it counts, damn it. It counts, damn it.
It's something.
I think
it's
I was less than that. I think I was like point a half a unit.
I was down one and a half, so y'all had a better day than I did.
The one thing that I noticed, really, based on how the series went so far, trust your instincts in this industry. Occasionally, you can switch some things. I know when we did the podcast, we thought Horford would be out. So that's kind of a big reason why I ended up liking Miami in the end. Decided to stick with it. At minus one, even though going into the series, I said I liked Boston to get destroyed in game one and win game two. I should have trusted my instincts, but Boston in six was still my call going in. They're on pace for that now. I saw Celtics, even after game two, is now minus 1.5 games at minus 105.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of that. If they win every home game moving forward, they win in six. I think that's a pretty good price.
I mean,
Miami could win on the road, but the issue I had going into the series.
They haven't been great. They haven't been great on the road.
The issue I had in the overall series going in, I just think Boston's the much more talented team. And Miami's well coached. I know Jimmy Butler is a dog, but at the end of the day, Boston just has so many weapons. And I feel like Miami has Butler as a one. Do they really have a two? I don't know how deep you want to go into the game yesterday. I had a prop I gave out on YouTube with Adebayo under 15.5 points because he's been no-showing games left and right, and he no-showed a game again last night. What's the concern level for Miami that Adebayo, who's arguably their second-best player, has just vanished offensively from thin air?
I think they got to give him the ball.
Yeah.
They got to give him the ball. I mean, when you look at his stat sheet, you're sitting here and he goes 3 for 6. And you're like, all right, that's not bad for a first half stat sheet. But there's no reason you should be taking less than 10 shots in the game. Really less than 12. To be honest, you're the best center in the rest of the playoffs. You know, you look at all the other centers in the playoffs, there's nobody better than you. So you need to go out there and act like it. And they need to scheme him the ball, but it doesn't look like that's in their offensive game plan. They've gotten away from that Jimmy Butler and Bam pick and roll, from that Tyler Hero and Bam pick and roll. Maybe when Kyle Lowry comes back, it's more of a Lowry and Bam pick and roll, but that doesn't feel as good as when Jimmy and when Tyler Hero do it with them. They've gotten away from that for this series. I haven't seen it done that much at all. It was a couple of times that it was done, and those were the only times that Bam scored points. So you got to get the ball to your big fella for me.
That was my main takeaway from game two. I'm not going to dive into it that much because we know Boston smacked the crap out of them. You know, we don't actually have to deep dive all of that. But the main thing that has surprised me this series is how little involved Adebayo is in the offensive game plan, especially after he torched this team several years ago in the bubble. I know that it's a different situation based on the roster construction, but Adebayo is one of your guys. He should be touching the ball more. That was my main takeaway. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, 8 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists through two games is not going to do it. I would also shout the game planning by Udoka and just absolutely punishing Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo. I mean, I also, like, P.J. Tucker going down, that certainly didn't help. And I think they got to find more minutes for Duncan Robinson if the Heat are going to come back here, because Victor Oladipo's minutes are absolutely worthless right now. I'm actually going to be looking at some unders for him, because I think Eric Spoelstra is going to make some adjustments to get them some more firepower, because right now Jimmy Butler was passive in the first half. He went off in the third, scored like 14, 15 points. Before that, if he's not aggressive, what is this Heat team? It was kind of like the point you guys were making before. It's like, I don't know if they have enough firepower on this team to kind of keep up with the talent of the Celtics here. So Marcus Smart was great in his return, 22-9-12. Jaylen Brown continues to get buckets at will. They got to get some firepower. And shout out to Peyton Pritchard, plus 41 in game two, which is crazy. That's like the highest plus minus since Kendrick Perkins. I think he had the record from back in the day. Which is kind of crazy, but
This is why I don't like plus minus for bullshit stats like that. It's so stupid.
How do you know Kendrick wasn't impacting that game?
And Peyton Pritchard, like, come on, yo. Why are you talking about this? But yes, I get it. I think that the Heat have a higher ceiling of talent, but I think the Celtics have a higher ceiling of talent. And that when they are doing their absolute best, they are that much better than the Heat. But the Heat have more depth with talent. And the Celtics are out here probably running 7-8 guys any night. He can go 10 deep and not feel the effects of that. So I'm looking for the adjustments.
Yeah, this game really came down to shot variance. Celtics made a lot of shots. The Heat did not. So what happens in game three? You know what I'm saying? On the road. I feel like the Heat might come out correct, but I think I'm going to look for Boston in the first quarter. I think I'm seeing it 1.5. I think they're going to continue their momentum at home because they've been good at home as well.
I agree. I'm going to ask quickly, since I did mention the 1.5 play for the series now at minus 105, do you think Miami steals a road game? Because if they don't, then you cash your bet.
Yes.
You think they will steal a road game? Okay.
I think they can.
I think they can, too. Right. I think anything's possible. I'm asking if you think they will, Dan. Come on. You got to take a stance.
Anything's possible.
I could see it by game four. Yeah, I think they're gonna have to split. I think they will. Yeah.
I like the Celtics in game three, though. But
okay.
Yeah, shout out KG, man. Shout out KG and shout out WynnBET. Bet $50. Win $200 promotion or a $50 bet qualifies you for $200 in free bets. And plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering you a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And the Wynn Las Vegas, they're giving away a golf trip to Wynn Las Vegas. Bet $100 on golf this weekend. Be entered in a chance to win a golf trip to Wynn Las Vegas. But the promotion ends on May 22nd, so get that in quickly. So much to choose from. All you have to do is download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to get started today. Offer subject change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. as Sleeper is the fastest fantasy growing platform with millions and millions of players today. You probably have a fantasy league there already. I use it for my Dynasty League. We just did a rookie mock draft for SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast. Me and Scott, go tap into that. And you can now make money on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. Super easy, super simple. Take your sport like basketball. You could take props like points, assists, rebounds, whatever. Pick the players you want and just simply click over or under. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. And if you pick correctly, you don't have to get all of them, but if you're like a guy like me that likes to go all in and you pick correctly, you can win from 2 to 20 times the money you put in. You can do the math on that. I'm not going to do the math on it because it's really a lot right now and I can't do it. I'm trying to get through this read. So super excited about the over-under game. And it's great because you can join your buddy's contest. You can join our contest, the SGPN contest, by going to sleeper.com/SGP. It will take you to the SGPN contest. And you will automatically match your deposit up to $100. So use promo code. This is the code. Sleeper.com/SGPNBA. So sleeper.com/SGPNBA. That'll take you to our group. And you can see me. You can see Moonov, Sean, all those guys. Everybody is in the group. $100 deposit match up to $100. So terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details at sleeper.com/SGPMBA. All right, fellas, it's time to get to the moneymaker. Let's talk about the reason that the people are here. We have the Dallas Mavericks already in Golden State for game two. They got absolutely ran out the gym in game one. Some people predicted it. Others did it. We predicted it on this show. So, well, when my internet wants to, there we go. We have Golden State minus 6-14 on the total. Dan, let's start with you. What, if anything, are you taking from game one and are going to apply into the handicapping game two?
That the Mavericks are not going to shoot at 36% in game two. I think that they'll make their adjustments. I think we'll see the offense definitely get a little bit more positive shot variance here. I mean, they shot horrible from three. That's really been their bread and butter. I also think that the Warriors are going to regress a little bit. You know, they kind of played like the Phoenix Suns in their first couple of games, hitting what, 60 something percent of their 2-point field goals. That's actually exactly what I think Dallas wants. They just need to make some shots. So I haven't bet it, but I really like the Dallas Mavericks in the first half. But my bet is going to be the Warriors in the third quarter. I think that this is where the Warriors tend to settle in at home. They have great second halves and third quarters. Right now, I see the third quarter at 2.5. I'm gonna take the point. I'm gonna lay the points with that. I just think that this Golden State team is just too good on their home floor in these situations. Curry and Klay didn't even have a good game, but we saw Poole really emerge. I think he's going to be huge in this series because that bench unit for the Dallas Mavericks next to Spencer Dinwiddie is like next to nothing. So there's no way that can check Jordan Poole in that second unit. Andrew Wiggins, man, we'll see what he can do against Luka in game two, but he was amazing in game one, really sending. And then Steve Kerr also sending a bunch of different looks to Luka, you know, from box of one to zone to man to man. So I think they're going to continue to disrupt Luka, but really like the Warriors third quarter here, 2.5.
That boxing one had me in tears when I see it, because it's like,
who you does just that don't in the run NBA? That.
That's high school. Right. It's high school. So look, I'll tell the story real quick. Norfolk, Virginia, this is like circa 2013, 2012. Not really that long ago for a lot of people, but it is for me. Whatever. All right. So I'm in high school, and my rival high school is Maury High School, and that is where Matt Coleman is playing, the guard for Texas that played at Texas. He was playing. The only thing that our coach ran was a boxing one with my guy, Curtis Dudley, and he had the one-on-one with Matt, and everybody else was defending around him. It was hilarious. And, you know, the last time I can vividly remember seeing that in the NBA is the 2019 finals with the Raptors. the Raptors versus the Warriors back when KD was out. So KD was out during that game, and they ran it against Steph, and it was Fred Van Fleet. So it was really funny to see that Steve Kerr went back into his bag and just flipped that and ran a box of one for a couple of sets. Scott, what are you doing with this?
For this one, I do agree with Dan that Dallas is definitely going to hope for regression from Golden State because 60% of twos is kind of crazy. However, I'm trying to think of what adjustments Jason Kidd's going to make. Because, of course, the main adjustment isn't make some damn shots. I'm assuming it's going to be to protect the paint. Because even though Golden State, we know, is a dangerous three-point shooting team, it seemed like Golden State just had a bunch of free runs to the rim in the entire first game. And we saw Golden State outscored them 44 to 32 in points in the paint. I think we'll see Dallas kind of funnel it a bit more inside because Golden State did not shoot it that well from the outside. Now, as for the offense, I feel like the only adjustment Dallas has to make is make some shots. I mean, it seemed like they were getting decent looks. They just missed a bunch of shots. Luka wasn't making. Brunson, I believe, was 0 for 5 from 3. Dinwiddie was pretty good. I had him on the prop cast, so he played well, but nobody else really did anything. And I feel like if you want to talk about what the main issue is for Dallas in the series and the main reason why I liked Golden State to win the series in 6 was the fact that Golden State is even more willing to play small than Dallas is. And Dallas was able to really torch Gobert and Ayton defensively in the first round. First of all, shout out to Looney, because Looney actually looked pretty good defensively, and he was able to play a lot longer than I thought he was going to in that first game. But Golden State, when the Looney lineup starts to get torched, they can put Draymond at center. And they probably have a better small ball lineup than what Dallas has. And the Mavericks can't say that about the first two opponents they face. So I guess my point is, if Dallas' secret weapon, their secret trick, was going small, and Golden State is more than happy to go small, I don't know what type of counter Jason Kidd's going to have when their main trick to get back into series is now basically voided. So I still like Golden State. I just think they match up quite well against Dallas.
I like Dallas here. And it's ultimately, it is more of they have to make more shots. But what I'm looking for is you have to dominate the turnover margin against the Golden State Warriors. It can't be close. They won 13-15, but this has to be more. You have to get the Warriors into that 20-plus turnover range.
It's got
to
be like 10-20, something like
that. Yeah, it's got to be a lot better than that. You can't have it close because Golden State is going to dominate the boards, which, like you said, they play small better. And so they're dominating the boards. They out-rebound them 51-35 in that game. And the issue that I have with the def lineup and where they do go smaller and they bring Poole in there, take Looney out, is that it makes them more – they're more they can actually – yeah, suckle to – I couldn't get that out, but it's hilarious. But, yes, they can't defend. That ultimately, that's what it is. They can't defend. Jordan Poole is going to light you up on one end, but he can give up some stuff on the other end. So if you have that and you have that lineup of Luka versus Brunson and versus Dinwiddie, and that's really what I'm looking forward to and seeing, not only in this game, for the rest of the series, what happens when they bring out all the firepower? What happens when they clear the bench and all the firepower is on the court? When it's Steph, Klay, and Poole versus Luka, Brunson, and Dinwiddie? What's going to happen, especially on the road for the Dallas Mavericks? Can they get those shots to go in? That's why I was on a bunch of unders the first game, because I didn't think that the shots were going in game one. Hopefully, it's nowhere but up. Dang, you can't do much worse than 22.9% from three. I mean, I guess you can, but it's really, really hard to even shoot that bad, especially with the open looks that they were getting a lot in the first half. So that's why I'm on Dallas plus 6.5 for the game. I think the Dallas is going to make it close, maybe a Warriors win, but I'm more on Dallas first half, Dallas first quarter, because I think that they're going to come out and try to really set the tone. I took the first half play on the Mothership Pod with Sean and Ryan. I'm going to take the first quarter play on this one because I think that, one, I don't think Andrew Wiggins is going to start the game on fire like he did last time. And that was a major reason for why they won that first quarter. I think Luka is going to dominate, and he's going to be able to get the shots he wants and go get his things going. And once he starts going, he's going to open up more because Steve Kerr's going to make adjustments. And he's going to open up a little bit more, and they're going to beg these other shooters for Dallas to take the ball and shoot it. I just think this time they make the shots. So I like that first quarter play for the Dallas Mavericks.
Just wanted to add real quick. Yeah, I was going to add real quick to what Scott was saying about the rebounding disadvantage. I think you're right. Like, that's the adjustment on defense that kid's going to have to make. They scored 14 points, 14 second chance points, and just dominated them on the offensive glass. So, yeah. So, do you guys think that it's possible we're going to see on the Dallas side more Powell versus Kleba, like, just because he plays closer to the rim? Or where do you think is the lineup for Dallas to be able to combat that small ball lineup for the Warriors?
That was my point. I don't know what answer you have, because Powell was a guy in the regular season who was pretty good for you, but he's barely played in the playoffs because he's going to get cooked. And the issue that you run into is defensively, do you really want Powell to be chasing people around screens the entire time? Probably not. Mm-hmm. The way that I see it is Kleber was the center that has really helped them out because they can space the floor offensively.
Right. Right.
So if you end up using Powell, yeah, your rebounding might get better, but your offensive spacing is going to be shot, because Kleber is a huge piece of spacing the floor, because you can't have the opposing center double team in the paint for any of the Luka drives, because he has to keep an eye on Kleber, which goes back to my point where I just think that Dallas is in a bad matchup, where I'm trying to think of what answers they actually can have. But if you're going to go small, because that's what got you here, and Golden State does it better, and Golden State out-rebounds the leading rebounding team by 26 in Game 6, I think you're going to have some problems, because Dallas wasn't a very good rebounding team anyway.
Fair.
Do you expect Golden State to win the rebounding battle in every game? Because I do. Unless they just shoot a bunch of bricks. They should win the rebounding battle every game by at least 5.
They should. Agree.
So that's going
to
be a problem.
They're the better rebounding team. And that's ultimately what it is. And that's something that Dallas is going to have to look to update in the offseason of how can we affect the rebounding? How can we become a better rebounding team while continuing to do what we want to do, which is play small? So it's going to be an adjustment. What are we thinking on the total? It's sitting at 214 right now, Dan.
I'm going to go under on it. It's pretty chalky, but like, even with the shooting variance, like going towards back to the Dallas Mavericks, if they make the shots, I mean, this game was trending to be an under from the first half. And, you know, the Warriors, I think this game's going to be a lot tighter than the first game was. So I'm not expecting a blowout here. I feel you on Rel on the taking the points with Dallas. I think we're going to see the Warriors continue to struggle to shoot the ball a little bit. And I think this one goes under 214. And the under in the Mavericks' last 71 games as dogs, the under's gone over. The game's gone under 68% of the time. So Dallas is really good at strapping up when they need to, but I don't think that they're going to win this game outright.
Scott, over to you.
I'm going with the under. Golden State scored 112 in game one, but you could also be a bit disappointed by that point total because they shot 56%+ from the floor. You assume Golden State's going to score 120 when that happens. So I do believe
killers.
I was going to say, I think you'll see regression. I'm assuming Golden State will probably shoot close to 48%, 49%, something like that. So I'll pencil Golden State in for about 105, maybe. I think they'll shoot a little bit better from three. But Dallas, would I be shocked if they did not get to 100? No, because we know when Luka plays, the pace is a lot slower. So based on the fact that the pace should be slow, and Dallas's main goal defensively should be don't let the Warriors get out and run, they should try to slow the game down. I like the under.
So for me, and I'm going to just make it a clean sweep on the under here, when I'm looking at the total turnovers, Dallas had 13 turnovers for the last game. Well, no, a lot. So, yeah, they got 15 turnovers from the Golden State Warriors. Points off turnover, they had 15 points. They only had 7 fast break points for the game.
They don't want to run.
They don't. So even if they turn the ball over, they're not looking to go out in a fast break. They're letting the stop, get their half-court offense set, and then go run a Luka isolation or get some of their shooters open. And that's going to dramatically slow the pace down. I think that the adjustments made by Jason Kidd will keep Golden State more at bay, probably closer around that 100 range for a team total. And if Dallas is sticking close to that, this goes way under. So I think that 214, I understand why it's that high because what we've seen from Dallas last series, but I think this is a brand new series. I'm still taking it under here. Anything else, any props or anything for the game before we move on?
I think my favorite prop in the game is Draymond Green. Under 8.5 points. I just think it's too high. I understand that he's been a bit more aggressive recently. He's gone under 7 in 5 of the last 7 games. You know, in the last 7 games combined, he's 0-7 from 3.
Yeah, it's can't really point shoot. Props been sitting at that half. Yeah. That half for
It's a half, but it's like -250 on the under. So the thing is, it was 7.5 in game 1, but Dallas gave up a bunch of points in the paint, and I think the main adjustment is to at least limit the number of open runs to the rim. And if you do that, Draymond's basically useless offensively if you limit the run. So for me, I'm going with his under 8.5. The way I look at it, I'm gaining an extra layup of insurance, because I would lose at 7.5 on 4 layups, but now I lose on 5. I'll dare Draymond to hit 5 layups.
All right. Dan, anything for you?
Yeah, I like Steph Curry over 10.5 rebounds and assists. You can grab that at one book at -132, but I've seen some other books at plus money at 11.5, and I still like that. He's averaged 14.8 versus the Mavs this season. That's including the playoffs. He grabbed 9 rebounds in 3 out of 5, and he dished out at least 7 assists in 3 out of 5. I think he's going to continue to
get 12 rebounds.
Yeah, 12 rebounds in game 1. Yeah, 12 rebounds and 4 dimes. Yeah, so I like Steph Curry here, man. I think he's going to continue to struggle from the field a little bit, not be as aggressive on offense. They're going to continue to send doubles at him, blitzing him, and I think he's going to be passing the rock and continue to hit those boards. It's the boards that's really surprising me, but he's been really doing a great job against the Dallas Mavericks this season.
All right.
You have any props you like to roll?
Yeah, for me, I'm going back to the well, and I'm going back to Kevon Looney's rebounds prop. And I just – they're not doing – I don't see the Dallas Mavericks doing anything to get Looney off of the floor. At most, maybe you try to make him foul out, doesn't seem like that's in the cards, and he's been playing very good defense. So if he's going to be on the floor – I'm just going to bank on Steph not getting 12 rebounds again, because Steph led the game in rebounding. If there was a prop on who would be the rebounds leader, I'm sure Steph was very pretty juiced in that prop. And so I'm going to take Looney. I got it at 6.5, I think, last time. And now it's sitting at – hold on, let me try to find that number for you while I'm talking. But ultimately, Looney still had 22 rebounds against the Memphis Grizzlies, who are a way better rebounding team than the Dallas Mavericks. And so I'm going to bank on Looney here. I think that he has the possibility of getting into that 10 rebound range and just and that's his contribution for this game.
I see 7.5.
Yeah, 7.5.
I see 7.5 for him sitting right now at 118. I think that's bad. I think that's the highest I'll play, though.
I think that was the biggest shocker from game 1 for me. I was shocked at how well Looney played defensively, because after Dallas torched Ayton and Gobert. I know Looney's only 6'9", so I get that he's a little bit, you know, I guess more capable of guarding the perimeter. I really thought they would get him involved in every pick and roll, and he would mostly get torched, and he would basically be unplayable, because that's what we saw from Dallas for the majority of the series. And Looney not only survived, he thrived. I thought he looked fantastic defensively. So I'm with you. I thought Looney was going to play 15 minutes in game 1, because I thought that they just wouldn't be able to use him. And he played north of 25. And at no point did Dallas really even threaten to get him forced off the court. So, yeah, I'm with you. I thought Looney looked really good in game 1. That was my main surprise.
Yep, very much so. All right. Let's talk about Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. This stuff is a delicious scoop of AG1. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day off right. Look, it supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging. It does all of that for less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. I try to tell you all the time, health is wealth, people, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It supports better quality sleep. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP. Health is wealth. Health is wealth. And take care of your internet health, because IP Vanish is the VPN for you to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet from hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. This will 100% encrypt your data while not sacrificing speed or your computers, tablets, phones, even a Fire Stick. So I don't go anywhere without it. I used it during my entire deployment,
And they're offering you an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with the 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. All you have to do is go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promo code SGP to claim your savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the day, lock and dog. Scott, I'm going to throw it over to you first. What is your lock and dog?
So I've noticed a lot of my co-hosts have been doing player props for some of their locks and dogs. I'm going to go back to Draymond. I'm going to take him under 8.5. The number's just too high. I'm just trying to figure out a situation matchup-wise where he would be able to get double digits again. And I'm mostly thinking of what adjustments Jason Kidd is going to make. And even though there was a lot of quality shot making in game one by Golden State, there are also a lot of quality shots, mostly around the rim. I think the main adjustment is Dallas has to do a better job of protecting the paint. And if that's one of the focal points, I'll dare Draymond to hit a bunch of jump shots because we know Draymond doesn't look at the rim on half of the possessions. And the thing is, 8.5 for a guy who could easily attempt less than 5 shots in an entire game on any given day is definitely too high for me. I'm going to take the under. We know Draymond's a facilitator. We know energy-wise, he spends a lot more energy on the defensive end. But 8.5 for a guy who really does not have much touch outside of, what, 4 feet? I think that total's too high. I'm going to take the under.
All right. And what's your dog?
My dog is going to be an alternative total because I did that yesterday with the over in the Heat game, and that worked out quite well. But I'm going to do it with the under, and the total in this one is 214. I'm going to look for a 211.5, and to find the actual price on that, I see around plus 114. If you want to go under 212.5, that's plus 104, 105 or so. But I'll go with the under 211.5 for all the reasons we mentioned. Golden State, we thought, was overly efficient in game one, but they also did a good job of limiting turnovers. I expect Golden State to struggle more offensively. And Dallas, pace-wise in this matchup, has to try to slow the game down. Give me the adjusted alternative total of 211.5 under at about plus 114, 115.
All right. Damn. What is your lock and your dog?
I lock under 214. Just the way that we've been talking about the pace being slowed, the adjustments being made by Dallas to kind of stop, not only stop the offense here, but also pack the paint a little bit, not get beat as much on the glass and in the paint. So I think this is trending to an under. The Warriors shot very well from two. I think that they're probably going to regress a little bit back down to a more normalized average there. Maybe hit some threes, but I don't think that this game is going to really swing into a high scoring affair. So I feel comfortable with that under 214. For my dog, I'm going to go with an alt line for Steph Curry. I'm seeing over 13.5 rebounds and assists at plus 225. I'm going to take the over on that. He's gone over in every game that he's played against them, including the playoffs. 5 out of 5. So I think I'm going to continue the run here. I think Dallas is a really good matchup for him in terms of locking him down from scoring perspective. But as we've seen him have this boon in rebounding as well as getting, he had like 5 assists in the first 19 minutes of the game in game one. So I think he's going to be plenty busy rebounding and dishing it out as well.
All right. For me, my lock, I'm going to go a little bit different, and I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go Warriors third quarter -1.5 because I'm just going to associate a game script that I have with this game. I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to come out fast. I think they're going to punch the Warriors in the mouth, and I think they're going to be leading at halftime. And the Warriors are one of, if not the best third quarter team in the entire NBA. This is what we've known this Warriors team to be for years under Steve Kerr. They've always come out after halftime and played with a lot of pace. They've gone out there and dominated the game plenty of times. I think that this is another opportunity they can do it. And they even dominated the third quarter when they were up by a whole bunch of points last game. So I'll take the Warriors third quarter -1.5 at -115 on WinBet. And for my dog, I'm going back to that first quarter and just going to keep the game script going with the Dallas Mavericks first quarter money line. You can get that at plus 140 right now on WinBet. I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to come out quick, and they're going to try to play with a lead, and they're going to try to hold on for the duration of the game. I think they hold on to it for the whole half, And then that third quarter is really where the Warriors are going to put some pressure on, and we're going to get a really good game in that second half. So I'm taking the Dallas Mavericks here. The Warriors are 4-8 with winning the first quarter last game. They're 4-8 over the duration of the entire playoffs in that first quarter. So I'm going to take a stab at the Mavericks here. They didn't get it done last game. I think they'll get it done this one, and I'm getting a higher number than I did last time at plus 140.
So just to make sure, we all think that Golden State's going to win game two outright, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I think Dallas will make it close, plus six, but I think that Golden State holds on at the end.
I think Golden State might win handily, but either way, I think Dallas being down 2-0 is the most expected outcome in my eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
And we get a real series when it goes back to Dallas.
Yep.
Yes, yeah. We'll see. Hopefully, and it's not nothing quick. All right. Dan, anything else for the people before we get up out of here?
Nah, just continue to check into the PropCast. We just did a great episode, so check that out on rookie wide receiver yardage totals. Make sure you hit that Jahan Dotson under because that's egregious that they put it at 709 with Carson Wentz as quarterback. But other than that, find me on Twitter at Dan Titus. Going to be doing some more stuff with SGPN coming up here as the NBA series start to wind down. And also, it's going to be great to meet y'all in person on Monday and everything. So, excited to see the crew out and in the live studio and all that. We're going to have a great time in Vegas.
Is there any fear that Sam Howell steals the starting job from Carson Wentz?
I say there should be fear, man. Who believes in Carson at this point, man? Come on now.
Scott, anything for the people before we get up out of here?
No, you can find me on Twitter at Reichel Radio, R-E-I-C-H-E-L Radio. Besides that, I know Terrell and I just dropped the WNBA gambling podcast, so we got that covered for you. Besides that, once again, looking forward to meeting up with the squad in Vegas. Should be a lot of fun. And I know that, well, Terrell and I have been, well, quite busy, you know, giving out a bunch of picks on a variety of shows, and hopefully they continue doing well.
All right. You guys know where to find me at reallyreal underscore Instagram and Twitter. I'm open to all great comments, bad comments, trolls, anything. It doesn't matter. My DMs, well, no, not my DMs, but my mentions are open. My DMs are closed.
Origin story. And
yeah, the origin story. And so download SGPN app, go there, and wherever you listen to your podcast, leave us a review. Matter of fact, send us the review. We'll see. We might have a contest coming up. It's been a while since we did a contest. Maybe something for the finals. I have to talk to the bosses. Let me talk to the bosses, see what we can do about that. But make sure you download the SGPN Slack, sg.pn/Slack. Hop over to the Slack channel and talk to us in there, #NBA and NBA channel. Hop into the WNBA channel, #WNBA. Subscribe to the WNBA Gambling Podcast. Look, it's nothing but winners over there. Nothing but winners. I'm 14-7 to start the season. 14-7 and seven straight dog picks to start the season. What are you doing, guys? Come on. Come over to the WNBA Gambling Podcast. Look, season's almost over. Playoffs are almost over. You're going to need some hoops to bet on over the summer. WNBA has it for you. Other than that, I have nothing else. And I also have no idea how I'm going to end this podcast as per usual. So we're just going to end it like this. We are out. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going